That's really a great song to emphasize the message of the scripture today. What God intends the church to be. And it fits in with what I was talking about this morning when I was thanking you for the growth I've seen here at this church. Because it's all about building a spiritual church. You see, there's a difference between being religious and being spiritual. You can do a lot of things religiously. Because to be religious about something just means to be committed and conscientious and go through the rituals and do things the way they ought to be done. But to really be the church of Christ, we've got to be more than religious. We've got to be spiritual. We've got to be grounded in the Spirit of God, God's Spirit that witnesses to our spirit that we're His children. That we have to be looking at a side of ourselves that day to day we sometimes forget about. I've said this many times with you, that we're not human beings with a spirit. We are spiritual beings with a human body. And we forget that because the world doesn't tell us that. The only place you'll hear that at church is at church. And I hate to say this, I grew up in a church that didn't tell me that. I grew up in a very religious church, but it didn't tell me some of the spiritual things that I needed to know as I was growing up. Paul is trying to speak to the Ephesians about what it means to be the true church. And like this little song we just sang, the real church is not a building. It's not a building with a steeple on it. It's all about the people. You see, we get caught up into seeing the church as a place, as a building, as a particular kind of building. And yet, we're the church, whether we're here on Sunday morning or we're out in our homes, in our jobs, in school, or at play, or on vacation. We're the church everywhere we go. We're just the church gathered together this morning. And what kind of church have we built as Christians? Well, I think in our century, oftentimes we built churches that, as Ephesians said about circumcision and uncircumcision, we can take that to another level and say we have built churches made in the flesh with human hands. That we can make churches the buildings and the site that we have built. Now, the problem with that is when you build buildings, you can often start worshiping the building and the place rather than the spiritual purpose that drove you to build it in the first place. Have you ever known people like that? That the building became so holy, they forgot about why we're here, what we're called to do, what we're called to be. As a matter of fact, it's kind of human nature when we get into building and things that we get all caught up about what we want instead of asking the critical question, what does God want the church to be? But you see, that puts us in good company because David had a problem with that and Solomon had a problem with that. Many people in the Old Testament had a problem with that. And Jesus recognized that the Pharisees had a problem with that. That they made the temple so holy. They made their rituals and practices so important that they forgot the Spirit of God behind it all. Old David, when he was sitting in his new fine palace, got to thinking, well, gee, man, I'm in this wonderful place. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And God's still in a tent. I'm going to build a house for God. And he got all worked up for that and started making plans, but God sent a message to him. God spoke to him in the book of Samuel. and reminded him of the real relationship that we have with God. God said to David, whenever I have moved about among all of the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? And then a few verses later, he says to David, moreover, the Lord declares to you, David, that the Lord will make you a house. And then God kind of gave in and said, okay, I'll let your son build me a house, because he's going to be the wisest of the wisest. And bless his heart, even the wise Solomon got into trouble when he built a house for the Lord, because he brought in things of the house of the Lord that were not of the Lord. And that was a mistake that was made again and again down through the centuries. That was the problem that the Pharisees were having in the temple. They made their temple so special that they actually had a dividing wall in the temple area between the temple proper and the place of the Gentiles. And if a Gentile passed that wall, they passed it on penalty of death. Because you see, our place, our special place that we built, is for us. And you can't come in. In the first passage from the Old Testament that Laurie read this morning in Jeremiah, it talked about how the shepherds had scattered the people. And it reminds us, when we make the church something that belongs to us, then we protect it with all of our shoulds and oughts and our do's and don'ts, and we find ways to send messages that say, this is ours, this is our group, unless you're in this group, you can't really be a part, and we create hostility among us, and people feel that hostility sometimes. They feel whether they're an insider or an outsider sometimes. And we put up our walls that say, directly or indirectly to people, you're not welcome. I don't think sometimes we consciously mean to do it, but we get so possessive and so protective that we build walls in the church that God wants to build. And in this passage from Ephesians, we hear these wonderful kinds of words that God wants us to be united together in a church that he builds. But we get caught up with human temptations. See, the people in Ephesus got caught up in that same kind of thing. That's why Paul had to write this letter. See, Ephesus was pretty much a pagan town and in a pagan province. And one of the things you did back in those days when the Romans and Caesars was ruling, that if you wanted to get a little something in your area, you needed to build a temple to Caesar. You needed to kind of please Caesar by building a temple and worshiping him and impress him. You know, it's kind of like, I don't think it's a mistake that Lotto Tippett's at the Department of Transportation and we're getting a lot of roads built, finally, in Fayetteville. What do you think? Think that has a little bit to do with it? You see, and the Ephesians and the people in the Greek world understood that. You build things that say to the political leaders, oh, we love you, we respect you, can you give us something? And if you play the game right, you get some of the things you want. And Paul was saying, hey, this isn't how it works with God. God doesn't want you to be building big, fine temples and cathedrals to impress him so he'll do something. It's his nature to do good things for you. He loves you. Paul had already said, he spoke you forth before the foundations of the world. He said, your purpose is to live for the praise of his glory. that we have an inheritance that's already ours in Christ Jesus. We don't have to build a church to impress God. What we have to do is let God build His kind of church through you and me. And that's what Paul was trying to tell the people in Ephesus. So they didn't build walls to separate. So they didn't create hostility. So they didn't make people feel like they were insiders or outsiders, but that God was reaching out to embrace the whole world in Christ Jesus. And he says, "For he is our peace. In the flesh, he has made all groups into one and has broken down the dividing walls." The hostilities, the things that separate us one from another, so we can be one in Christ Jesus. So we can recognize we all receive of the same Spirit of the Father. That we are members of the household of faith. Not members of St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. Not members of the United Methodist Church. Not a Protestant. But we are members of the household of God. Isn't that warm and rich? See, if I become a part of your household, or your household, or your household, or your household, that's a deeply personal, rich thing. I mean, church membership is a lot of times something just on a roll book somewhere. I mean, we've got 500 members. I don't know where they all are, but you know, they're not here this morning. But to be members of the household of faith, we belong to something beautiful and intimate and loving and caring, a warm place that's warmed by the presence of a God who sacrifices His Son to prove to us He loves us and wants us to be a part of His family. And Paul tells us it's built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. So we're talking about a different kind of building when we talk about building a spiritual church. That Jesus Himself, the living Christ, becomes the cornerstone. That stone that used to be in large buildings, they won't really talk about. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a cornerstone in most houses that are built today. But used to, when you had big buildings and big stones, you got it all started by finding the most perfectly square stone that you could find. And then you set that where you wanted the building to start, and everything else took its meaning from that perfect cubical rock that was called a cornerstone. See, the kind of house God wants to build is built on a foundation where Jesus is that cornerstone. And we hear time and time again in scriptures about Jesus being the cornerstone laid in Zion. We hear it in Isaiah, in Luke, in Romans, in 1 Peter, that Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the beginning place for building the church. But Paul goes on to say that in this kind of building made out of people instead of out of bricks and stones and wood and cedar, like the temple and like the first palace, that we are whole structure joined together in Christ Jesus. And so he uses another image that was known in that part of the day when you had these beautiful archways And have you ever noticed in these archways that there's a kind of odd-looking stone right at the top of the arch? And it's usually a stone that angles out and is shaped like this. And sometimes that's called the capstone or the keystone, that the structure holds together because that stone is cut just exactly right. That Jesus is not only the cornerstone and the starting point and foundation of what the church is, that Jesus is the capstone, the keystone that holds the whole structure together in unity. All of these different shaped rocks have their place and fit into their little nook and cranny, but they are held together by the keystone, which is Christ Jesus. And with that, we grow into a holy temple in the Lord. Just like the song says, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. That's the house God wanted to build for David. And God did build through his descendant Christ Jesus, and is building in you and me. That is a spiritual church, when we are the building blocks of the church of Jesus Christ in this world today. I love the words of 1 Peter 2:4 when he talks about this. It's a beautiful image when he picks up on this thing, same theme. He says to us, come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're the living stones that God would shape into a glorious church. You know, I've often thought that as convenient and wonderful as church buildings are, that in some sense they're a hindrance to the kingdom of God. Because it sort of ties us down to a piece of property. We can get overwhelmed with that property and forget that we are the living stones that God uses to build his church. If we're in touch with him on a spiritual level. And Paul's promise in verse 22, when he talks about our being a holy temple in the Lord, to whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Unless we allow ourselves to be living stones, and God to be the stonemason that places us together to build a magnificent church, not made with human hands, but molded by God himself, we will never, never, never become what we're called to be. Unless we go to this God in our spirits and say, Lord, where is my place as a living stone in this magnificent building that you want to build? And how many more living stones are out there that people have rejected that we need to go out and gather to build a more magnificent church for you? See, it's not about buildings. They're nice. They're wonderful. I'm thankful for this wonderful structure we have. But unless we allow God to shape us into his church, this will never truly be a church. Now, maybe you feel a little bit like patted you on the back with one hand, now I'm slapping you in the face. But what I really want to do is challenge us. I think we have done so much in these 2.5 years. I thank God for you. And you know, it's really nice going into the next year. And by the way, I just opened our apportionment for next year, and it actually went down a few dollars. Praise God. And but we're doing a wonderful job. But God calls us to do more. And if we just realized that we are the living stones of His church. You don't come here to come to church. You are the church. And do you know there may be some other stones right near you, really close. And I don't want to use the metaphor you might be thinking of and I'm thinking of, how far away it is. God needs those stones to build His church here at St. Matthew's too. We just can't come to our holy place. We've got to let God shape us into His church so that we are held together and that the world sees a wonderful, glorious cathedral not made with human hands, because God is doing something wonderful in you and me, because we are in touch with the Spirit of the living God. Will you accept the fact that you're a living stone? And the stonemason may have to chip off some rough edges to help you fit into His plan and His structure. Are you willing to let Him do it? Or are you willing to let Him look for that wonderful, special spot where only you will fit to make the whole thing work? Are we going to build a church? Or are we going to allow God to use us as living stones to build a spiritual church here at St. Matthew's? That's what Paul was asking the Ephesians as he wrote this letter. That's what he's asking you and me as we hear the word. You are a living stone. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto God. Let us pray. Father, we know that You realize we're human. And it's so much easier for us to relate to the church if we can see a building and a place and certain things we're used to in it. And maybe because it's hard for us to believe that You could actually use us as living stones to build something magnificent and wonderful in this world. Maybe we're a little afraid that we'd be thrown into the scrap pile, because we forget that Christ Jesus, that we accepted by faith in our baptism, has already made us a living stone in Your church. So help us submit ourselves, that You can mold us in to the building not made with human hands, with Christ Jesus as our cornerstone and as our capstone and keystone to hold us together in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace and shalom and all that's good. Because our world needs to hear about a God like You and a Christ like our Lord Jesus and a Spirit that is here to bring unity where our efforts only create hostility. Bless us, mold us, make us into what You would have us to be as a spiritual church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.